Hello and welcome to another edition of Conversations with Community Managers. My name is Jim Storer and I'm going to be one of your co-hosts today. The other co-host is my colleague, Shannon Abram. Shannon?
Hi, Jim. We are so excited to be recording another episode of Conversations with Community Managers. Today we are joined by Peter Broadley. Hi, Peter.
Hi, Shannon. Hi, Jim. Thanks for having me today.
We're so excited to have you with us, and I know you're busy, so we appreciate you taking the time out of your day to chat with us. To kick things off, we'd love to hear about where you work and the kind of community that you work with.
Sure. So I work for Canadian Standards Association, which is the not-for-profit member-based association, part of CSA Group, based in Toronto, Canada. The community that we have is a collaboration community. So we use our community to collaborate on standards with our association members. So our CSA staff would manage a project or a committee within our community, and our members would be assigned various roles for each of the committees. We've been using it for 5 years now, and it's grown quite a bit in that time.
Fascinating. Can you tell us a little bit more about the platform you're on and, you know, how that's going?
Sure. We use Jive software as our platform. We've used that since launch, so we haven't changed anything. We've customized a lot of pieces because I know at the time when the community launched, certain rules or business rules that we had to fulfill weren't being met by out-of-the-box features. So, of course, we had to add some customization. So I just spoke about roles for each of our members in these committees. We would have to create some custom permission types. So you'd have an administrator, a chair, a voting member, a non-voting member, and a guest. And we had to have a custom front end built so we could assign people to these committees and assign them the roles. So that's something that I still find is very specific to us as a standards development organization, and there's not a lot of out-of-the-box functionality that could accommodate that. But we use that in combination with all of the other out-of-the-box features. We do have regular discussions, curated blog posts. We have gamification enabled in our community. There's really a lot to it. We do have other areas of our community that are open to external facing as well, not just the members only portion. So it's really dealing with a whole bunch of different audiences in one, and they each require their own tactics and their own strategies.
Wow, you must have a huge team to get all that done.
Well, I have a team to support part-time resources in our various program areas. So I would have part-time community management staff in areas like electrical, health and safety, environment, climate change, everything that lines up against our program areas. And they monitor the various communities that fit under their program profiles. We also have membership administrators that help with the onboarding of the association members. As far as full-time dedicated community managers, right now it's just me.
Well, I knew that, and that's kind of why I brought it up. One of the things that kind of plays into that is you're trying to create innovative programs to get members engaged. And I know we've talked in the past a little bit about the you do some in-person events and you do some monthly call-in series to kind of spur that engagement. Can you talk a little bit more about those programs? And if there are other programs that you do to create engagement, can you share about those as well?
Sure. So like I said, with the different audiences, different programs and strategies are required. So when I'm working with the CSA staff, they could be new staff or staff that have come in from other areas of the business. I do have a weekly drop-in session that I have in our Toronto office. I call it Community Thursday, and I host it in the cafeteria every week from 10 to 11. So the idea is anybody can come down with their laptop, they can hang out, they can have a coffee, ask me questions. New employees, I give them the crash course, initial walkthrough, and then give them a couple of things to do so they can learn how to use the community better. So that's weekly. And then I have a monthly session called Community Fundamentals that's open to anybody. I mean, it would be mostly the members, any new members that we have coming into the community. And I host that via a WebEx, and it's really an online demo where I go through all of the basic features of the community, how to get around, how to access your member space, and things like that. So a little bit different than the weekly session because the members might have more specific things that they need to know about. And then I also have a session that's a little more ad hoc, but it's geared towards executives. So if a new director comes on board, obviously they have to be aware of what's going on in the community. So I book 30 minutes with them to go over the community at high level, get them set up on their phones so they can monitor the community and see what's going on, and give them a couple of things to do. So a lot going on, a lot to manage, but it's been working for quite a while. For I think 3 years I've been running these programs.
And as if that's not enough, you and I were talking recently, and you're looking to set up a Toronto-based kind of working session, if you will, with members of the CR network with you and also folks that might be outside of the network. Is that right?
Yeah, I would absolutely love to have a local meetup group in the Toronto area where people can get together, work on their community activities together as a team, and then continue the conversation afterwards. I was really impressed by what some of the CR members did with the Chicago user group, and I was really jealous that I can't attend these sessions. So I was trying to get something going kind of like that in Toronto for anybody that works in the area of community.
I think that's a great idea. I know one of the most challenging things about just working in community is that in so many organizations, it's just you. And maybe you sit on a marketing team, and maybe you sit on an IT team, and who knows where you sit, but maybe you're not sitting near anyone. And so it's great just to have even someone just to talk to and bounce ideas off of. And definitely, like, we obviously love the internet, but in-person stuff's really great too.
So I think one of the most important things, I mean, especially for somebody who's a team of one as a full-time resource, is to make the time to connect with other community professionals. I mean, you're right, online is great. Social media, various online communities like the CR. But those in-person gatherings are that's kind of where everything comes together and where you learn. So I think that face time is really important.
So to kind of marry those two ideas, do you have not engagement issues, but if you've been running these sort of drop-in sessions, drop-in classes for 3 years, have you seen engagement ebb and flow? Have you done certain things to drive participation that you've seen be a really good success, and then you've tried something and been like, well, that didn't work. Like, let's scrap that idea. Because it definitely seems like the kind of thing that might take a while to get to find its cadence.
Yeah, each of those programs has their own set of challenges. The biggest challenge, I think, for us with the weekly session for staff is we're a mature community. You know, we've been up since 2013, and especially for the staff that have been here for the whole time, they don't know if there's anything else that they need to learn unless they run into a technical problem. So getting them to come back is hard. Some weeks I could sit there and be working by myself. But you know what? That's okay. I'm using that time as a block of time to work on community activities. Usually at least one of my part-time community managers is there with me, and we can talk about, what's happening in the community this week or what we're working on. So even if I'm not actually, giving a tutorial or helping other people, the point is to make myself available at the same time in the same place every week. Because I do get people that come. Today I had my session this morning, and we had two people show up. The week before, I think there was one. And then getting into the holiday season, there weren't a lot of people around. So, you also kind of have to expect around holidays and summertime that it's definitely going to slow down. And if you track attendance like I do, you can see the trends year over year, and they usually line up pretty well. for the weekly call in, or the monthly call in sessions with the members, I try to promote these in the community 2 months out just to give people enough time to, you know, plan it out, put it in their calendar. But you know what? Each one of these sessions is the same week, same time. I do it on the third Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern. So, you know, people have come to expect that that's when it is. And usually these sessions are almost identical unless there's some specific questions that come at the end. So, you know, if you miss one, then you can just sign up for the one next week and no big deal. I'm going to be on the line. So if you can't make it, that's okay. And, you know, some days I don't get any. And sometimes I've got 10, 15 people on the call. So, you know, it totally depends. The executive one is a little more structured because I go out of my way to book it in their calendars. And I do it in their office with them. So that one I don't really have an issue with.
So with the executive one, is it a one-on-one experience?
Yep. It's one-on-one. I give them a very short high-level agenda of what we're going to do. I go over all the high-level features of the community. In some cases, I've done multiple ones because, you know, things might have changed. Say we did a system update or something like that, and, you know, the look and feel changed, or we got some new features. So I'll sit down with them again and show them what's changed. And, yeah, I try to keep it under 30 minutes. At the end, I give them a couple of things to do. But I think the key thing for them was to be able to access the community on their phone. You know, for a lot of them, they're not at their desk very often. They're always in meetings or they're traveling. So being able to look at the community on their phone, you know, if they're traveling for a kid's hockey game or something, you know, they still feel connected and they can engage with the members.
You know, it's really interesting. You, I think I want to just reiterate 2 points that you made during that last answer about the different engagement programs that you're running. Number one is consistency. I think that's critical, is, you know, picking a time, picking a day, picking, you know, whatever it is, be consistent, because people will start to realize, oh, that's where Peter's going to be at, you know, this time and this day. And then the other thing you brought up is to schedule it, and schedule it as far out as you can, because everyone's got a busy schedule these days. And if you put them out, you know, even if you put it out 6 months, I think you'll find people will book the time on their calendar if they know it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And even if you say it's going to happen every month, unless they see it on a calendar, they're not going to.
Exactly. So I actually send out a calendar invite to everybody, everybody in the Toronto office anyway. So at least it gets into the calendar. I put them down as optional, but 15 minutes before they get the reminder. And then I have to remember to update this every couple of months when we get new staff so that they're included as well. I find that really helps get people to come by.
Well, I want to shift gears a little bit and talk about something that we do annually at the Community Roundtable. It's called the State of Community Management, and something that we have appreciated over, I don't know, the last 3 or 4 years is that we establish a working group of members of the network to join us and help us design the questions, design the survey, interpret the results and everything. Can you talk a little bit about your participation in the working group, kind of why you got involved, what some of your experiences are, and why you encourage other people to get involved in the future?
Sure. So the State of Community Management Working Group, this is my second year, consecutive year that I've been a part of the group. Last year was a really great learning experience. I'd always, you know, read the reports. I would always look to see, you know, how the industry is changing. It helped me to identify things that I need to work on, you know, to build up my roadmap and, you know, see how my community measures up to other communities. So I wanted to be a part of that just to learn more about, you know, about community, to get more confident in how I present myself as a community leader in my organization. Being part of it last year was fantastic. I feel like I did get a lot out of it in terms of, you know, being more confident in how I speak about what our community is about and the engagement tactics and where community is going. So because I learned so much in the last year, I wanted to go back again this year to participate to bring everything that I've learned in the last year to this year's report.
So for anyone unfamiliar with what a working group might be, maybe you've never joined one, maybe you've never heard of one, what exactly, or not, doesn't have to be exact, what kind of things does being in the working group mean? Do you meet? Do you have homework? Like, what is it? What are the responsibilities of being a working group member?
Yeah, it's a bit of both, because there's tight timelines for this report as well, and we're scattered all over the place. I'm in Canada. Most people are in the U.S. I think there's some people in Europe this time as well. So we all meet online in our Zoom meeting, and you know we have our initial kickoff. You know, we talk about the themes for this year's report. You know what we want to change from last year. You know, once those three key themes are created, then we kind of break off into three separate working groups, each focused on one particular theme. And then we meet up online. Everything is being done online, a combination of the Zoom meeting and Slack. And we work on our teams to, you know, look at the questions, to come up with new questions based on the themes for this year, you know, what we would like to see. We also you know, look at everything once it's completed in its draft state and give feedback to the other groups on their suggestions. And it kind of goes back and forth like this until we're happy with everything. And then the CR research team takes what we have and runs with it.
Awesome. Thanks for that summary, because I think Shannon and I were both sitting here saying, you know, I don't know exactly what they do with the working group. So that was a great summary for us too. So one of the more kind of, I think, the fun things that we've seen you take part in and really spearhead was at our Connect event, which I'll plug it for a second. The CR Connect is our annual member event. It happens every year in the fall in Boston, Massachusetts, and it's happening this year, September 23rd through 25th. So you can head on over to Community Roundtable or communityroundtable.com to find out more. But one of the things you did there was you spearheaded a running club, and we saw the small but fierce group of runners who were braving the fall cold in New England to go out and run along the Charles.
Well, I wouldn't say it was specifically cold. I mean, I'm from Toronto, so it was pretty comfortable. I still ran in shorts and a t-shirt. But yeah, I find there's a lot of runners that are also community managers, and I actually had some conversations with people in the last few weeks about this and why that is. And, you know, there's a lot of similarities in terms of, you know, planning and being focused and, you know, the determination and things like that. So it's really, really interesting. But we had a small group go out for 2 days in the morning, and, you know, just conversational. I think we did like a 3 to 4 mile run along the Charles. It was great. I had done it at previous conferences. I've been part of that. So I'm going to go out running anyway. I might as well bring some people with me and make some new friends. And I've already registered for Connect this year. So if you want to go for a run, I'll be there.
And a little birdie told me, the little birdie is me, and I told myself that you guys are going to get special Run Club shirts this year. What?
What a surprise. That's awesome.
I know. Well, it's not a surprise anymore. I guess we just sort of spilled the beans. It might have been a surprise to Jim, actually. Surprise. But yeah, I am not a community manager. I'm on the operations side of our business, and I love seeing how natural it is for everyone in these roles to be like, yeah, like, how can we get people together in this way? It's just such a natural extension of what you do for work. And this sounds so corny, but it's really, really cool to see. It just sort of never stops in a really awesome way. So
come on, Shannon.
I think it's great. What?
Everyone's a community manager.
Is everyone? Oh, I'm going to change my title.
Yeah. Even if they don't know it.
Even if they don't know it. Well, to wrap it up, we always ask the same question, and it's really fun to see how different people think about the question and how they answer it. But Peter, what is your community superpower?
If I had to pick one, I would say perseverance. I just find with this job, especially, you know, with different types of audiences, they have different comfort levels. you've really got to be patient and persistent with what you do. Like I was talking about those sessions, right? Some weeks I could have no people, you know, especially at the beginning. It's very slow to start up and it gradually builds, but you need to stick with it. And eventually, you know, you'll get there. Hang in.
That is an incredible way to wrap this up. And I think perseverance is probably, if it's not your number one superpower, it should be every community manager's sub superpower. So thanks for taking the time today. We appreciate it. And Shannon, anything else we need to wrap with?
No, I think it was great, Peter. We really appreciate your time and we can't wait to see you at Connect.
Me too. Thank you for having me today.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for listening to another edition of Conversations with Community Managers from the Community Roundtable. We'll see you next time.